Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Look, I mean, I know the Sixers have had a good year. I'm very excited about that. I am glad Doc Rivers is the 76ers head coach. I think he's been an upgrade, but you know, this is an organization that's made the Eastern Conference Finals one time in 35 years, and I want to see him make it. And I am absolutely convinced that being the one seed is a guaranteed pathway to getting there. And I just feel like the Sixers are playing with fire in part because Doc Rivers is being easy on them. That's how I see it. Your reaction, 215-592-9494. Let's go to JB right now on Chestnut Hill. What's up, JB?
Yo, what's up? Joe, you cannot be more wrong. First of all, nothing's guaranteed in life except death and taxes, okay? So the number one seed doesn't guarantee they're going
to
be there.
Dude, they're not going to lose to the Knicks in the second round. I mean, come on.
Well, that being said, you never know what could pop off. That being said, what Doc is saying, you're supposed to interpret what people say, and I think this is what John was alluding to earlier. He was speaking in terms of hindsight. Like, yes, it's a tough game against Phoenix, and yes, we go back-to-back with the Bucks. So, yeah, he's saying it could have just as easily have been seen as a loss set up, loss to loss. And he even goes further to say that, yeah, this was what we played tonight. But when it comes out to the playoffs, it's all hands on deck. And if they got a double team, you know, the big guy, then they got a double team. Where Joel's going to come off, I have an incredible amount of faith in Doc. I think he's doing a bang-up job. He's the guy who we want. He's the guy who's not like Brown, who was basically a poor man's concierge for his team, just saying, you guys kind of do whatever you want, and we'll see what happens. I'm completely trustful of Doc Rivers.
And you're not bothered at all by him saying, quote, I'm more concerned about getting through the game? It doesn't bother you?
No. You know why? Because it's a long season, and one game doesn't make a season. If you want to get through that game, guys are banged up, guys are hurt. This is a stumbling block. The rest of their schedule is the weakest schedule in the NBA at this point. So you get through this hurdle and you run the table, or you take a real good run at it, and then you secure that number one seed, and then he can pump up his guys. And like, hey, by the way,
better get it. Hey, listen, he better get it. There's only 13 games left.
He will, and he's going. I'll bet. Side note, I'll bet they go 9-4 at least in the next 13. And I have an incredible amount of faith in what Doc's going to do. And then, you know, what happens in the playoff time is what happens in playoff time. But I have a side note for you. I don't know if you guys are talking about the draft. If you're talking about, it's a week away, less than a week away. I think the Eagles will and should. They're going to go after Christian Darrisaw or Rashawn Slater. It's a simple fact that we have an aging offensive line. We're the second oldest team in the NFL. And if our quarterback is on his back, he can't throw at any receiver anyway. Kind of like the analogy I saw the other day with Cincinnati deciding between Penei Sewell or, you know, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
Joe Burrow can't throw to Ja'Marr Chase from his back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, no, I mean, listen, JB, and I think it's possible. Appreciate the call, man. It's always good hearing from you. And I certainly think it's possible. And you know, we've talked so much about the skill position players. But, you know, again, you want to talk history. This organization, how he's been part of most of these years, this organization has drafted an offensive or defensive lineman 20 of the last 27 years in the first round. 20 of 27.
Yeah. The argument against that would be that there are those who believe Slater would be more of a reach at 12 than a guy like Patrick Surtain.
Right.
At
12.
Or DeVonta Smith
at
12.
Yep.
They might opt to go that way. It feels like more often than not in recent years, when you think back, we as fans have been sort of okay. Less than excited when we get the O lineman, D lineman. It is the Eagles' way. I don't think it would be surprising. I just don't think this is the year that they do it. I I feel very confident that we get an Alabama player this year.
Wow. Well,
those three Alabama players, it seems like they're the value at 12 if they're still there. And I think it's going to be really hard for Howie to avoid doing the, you know, the no-brainer.
So, I mean, certainly I know they, there's a very decent chance, you know, a good chance they get a Bama player. But it wouldn't shock me if they slide down. I mean, if the board's shaking a certain way, you know, could Howie go from 12 to 16?
Yeah.
And pick up, maybe that gets you an extra second-round pick. I'm not sure. I mean, that certainly would get you a third-round pick. I mean, I could see that as a possibility also. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways this thing can shake out. Hey, 215-592-9494, a happy birthday. He's long dead, but it was about 500 years ago, William Shakespeare, born on this date back in the 1500s. Obviously notable for, well, many, many things, but essentially, you know, dude's a wordsmith. I mean, Bill Shakespeare could turn a word to the point where, you know, there's many out there that say greatest writer of all time. Of course, there's a lot of historical ambiguity about exactly who Shakespeare was and what exactly was going on back there back then. But curious, John, from you and James and everyone, you think in terms of a wordsmith, anytime, present time, past time, whatever it might be. Best answer by the end of the show. Person that provides that answer is going to win a $25 Rita's Italian Ice gift card. You can head to Rita's for all your favorite delicious frozen treats. John, when you think of wordsmith, it can be the written word, like Bill Shakespeare, can be the spoken word.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be in any form. It could be a poet, right? It could be someone who writes novels, someone who writes short stories, someone who speaks on TV or radio. I mean, John, when you think in terms of a wordsmith,
yeah,
what comes to mind for you?
I'm going to go English nerd here. I named my daughter after this man. Christopher Marlowe. There are those who believe that he faked his own death and then began writing as William Shakespeare.
Exactly. Yep.
Way back in the day. You know, the name William Shakespeare attached to a publication did not appear until 2 weeks after Christopher Marlowe's death, or death in quotes,
yep,
where he was stabbed in the face and unrecognizable. People weren't sure that it was actually his body.
It's an amazing story.
He wrote an iambic pentameter, yep, before William Shakespeare did. The major difference is he was not a comedian. William Shakespeare wrote comedy.
Sure.
Christopher Marlowe wrote dark, tragic stuff.
Is Marlowe the one that Ben Affleck played in Shakespeare in Love? I think he might be.
Maybe.
Great movie. I haven't seen it in a few years, but that movie.
I haven't seen it since it was in the theater.
Seltzer, a wordsmith. Talk to me. Best answer by the end of the show wins the gift card, 215-592-9494. Any walk of life, a wordsmith. Who do you have, James?
Yeah, it's my favorite. He created my favorite thing that I've seen in as long as I can remember. The best thing I saw during the pandemic, all that stuff. And it's all about this guy's ability to put words together. Lin-Manuel Miranda is a wordsmith.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
There's going to be a lot of great answers here. There really is.
I still haven't seen that.
Me neither. And I'd like
it
to.
It is the best thing ever. Like, I can't emphasize enough how unbelievably amazing Hamilton is.
Wow. Well, let me give you what I think might be the winning answer, but I'm just going to take it off the board. I've been watching lately, John. I have gone back and watched some of his old work and have enjoyed it, back to the 70s, the 80s. And I don't think there's any question from a sports broadcasting standpoint, he is the all-time wordsmith, and I would say the all-time sports broadcaster in U.S. history, and that is the great Howard Cosell, who could turn a phrase, turn a sentence, turn a paragraph. I mean, he just was – I mean, not only was he captivating with how he spoke, but he was captivating with the words he spoke with. He just was amazing, an amazing speaker. And Howard Cosell, obviously one of the legends of broadcasting. Look, hit us up here, 215-592-9494. Give me a wordsmith. Best answer by the end of the show wins the gift card. Let's go to the phones right now, talk to Lenny and Conshohocken. How you doing, Len?
Hey, boys. How you doing today?
Great, Lenny.
All right. So, first off, Joe, do you like any coach in Philadelphia sports?
Of course. I like Doc Rivers.
I'm just saying, Jesus Christ, my man. It's doom and gloom with every single coach, Sirianni, Girardi.
Well, it's not doom and gloom with every coach, but Lenny, I mean, we had a head coach of the 76ers last night, should be fighting for a one seed, and his quote was saying, and let me pull it up again, his quote was saying, I'm more concerned about getting through the game. You don't have a problem with that?
I mean, absolutely I do, but let's be fair. We just played Phoenix. Joel Embiid played a season high in minutes, or damn near season high in minutes, that game. And then he came back, all the plane, played it back-to-back, gave it his all. He looked banged up. So So let's be fair also. Tobias Harris just came back. My biggest issue is not with Doc Rivers. My biggest issue is with Mr. Ben Simmons. My guy wants to be defensive player of the year, but then chooses to sit out against Steph Curry, Devin Booker, and then Giannis or Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday. You pick. Mm-hmm. If you have a beef to pick, it should be with Ben Simmons, not with Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I got a problem with it. I'm very concerned about that. And you know what? Doc is part of that equation also. I mean, he, in line with the softer, kinder coach, his approach is, you know, Ben will let us know when he's healthy enough to play. Of course, I would prefer that he push him and motivate him and implore him, hey, we need you out there. But Doc understands what works and what doesn't. And so he's leaving Ben to his own devices, and I'm assuming he knows better than I do how to motivate Ben Simmons.
I'd agree. And one thing that is really, really, really concerning to me more about the Sixers, and Joe, I do 100% agree with you. The number one seed is the most important for the Sixers.
It's so critical. And no one talks about the finals, Lenny. That matters, man. I mean, the Sixers lost to Kawhi on Kawhi's home court on a buzzer beater. I mean, if that game's in Philly, the Sixers – probably win game 7 2 years ago, but it wasn't. I value home court, and it's not just for 3 rounds. It's for 4 rounds.
So before I give you my famous wordsmith, my big concern, and everybody was very, very excited, even national pundits, and I really don't understand why. After watching, I really don't see a massive upgrade with George Hill on our team like they were saying he was going to bring with the second
year.
Well, he's looking real rusty.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
There are flashes, but I expect him to be a lot better when the playoffs start. Maybe that's naive of me.
Well, Lenny, I think two things. One, I agree with John, the rust, obviously. Number two, I would be careful on the, like, I think you said big upgrade. I mean, he's a nice player. I like him. But, I mean, he's a role player. I mean, don't expect too much. All right, Lenny, give me what you got here. Who's the wordsmith?
All right, so I'm a coach. I'm an athletic director. I say this to all my students before we go out and play. It's one of my favorite quotes. It is, courage is grace under pressure. My man, Mr. Ernest Hemingway.
Hemingway, big answer right there. No question about it. Look, nice. We're going to get a lot of good ones today. Hey, Phillies have an issue. Well, they got a couple issues. They play a series tonight versus Colorado. Issue number one, of course, John, did Vince Velasquez gets the start.
It's incredible.
Everyone starts saying your prayers now. Pray for the next, 10 hours or whatever.
You know what, though?
What? Go ahead.
Don't you think it sets up? So we all expect him to fail miserably. Based on previous experience with Vinny, he somehow pops up and surprises you in the most unique spots, don't you think?
Like for 3 2/3, and then he gets banged around.
maybe. But for some reason, this is setting up, because we all count him out. It's setting up so he's going to shock us and actually look like the pitcher they want him to be.
Yeah, look at John going positive. I like it.
It's possible. It's all just saying, oh, it's Vinny. We're going to stink. We're going to lose. What if he shows that promise that has him kept on this team for as long as he's been?
What if he pitches a perfect game tonight? You know, I mean,
sure, why not?
You know, why
anything
not?
Could happen.
I mean, maybe a no-hitter. He plunks one guy, but a no-hitter. Let me ask a real question about the we'll see what he can do tonight. And I hear you, John. He obviously has always had stuff and struggles to put it together. Let's go to two other pitchers, though, in this rotation and lay out our Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park, where you can book daily fee golf at Wake Lake Creek Country Club. Located on the grounds of Delaware Park, lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery, must be 21 to play. Because as I said, the Phillies do have a decision to make and an issue here, and it's good to have an option. And today's question, who would you rather have in the Phillies starting rotation? And we're not going to put Vince in here. This is just a spot start tonight. He'll get some of them through the year. It is what it is. But who would you rather have in the Phillies starting rotation? A, Matt Moore, who's been in the starting rotation since the start of the season and been a disaster.
I know A is not my answer. No way.
Or B, Joe DiCamera coming out. No, not me. Or B, because I want to, John said A wasn't going to be his answer. Or B,
you would have put him in a bind there.
Or B, Spencer Howard, who last year was not particularly impressive. He ended up getting hurt.
He looked really good his last outing.
Yep. They started.
I mean, that was, what, 1 2/3 or something?
1 1/3,
yeah. 1 1/3.
3 strikeouts, 3 out of 4 outs.
He started him in the minors.
He looked outstanding.
And they came up. Yeah, so here's the thing, and you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. I think we all hope like heck like heck that Matt Moore is not in the Philly starting rotation on June 1st. I hope he's not in the Philly starting rotation on May 1st.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yep.
Same. I mean,
totally finished.
And especially
never again.
When you know how, like, this is not a situation where the Phillies, I mean, first off, they're not in first place. Second off, they're only 500. And if they are to make the playoffs, they're not going to make the playoffs by six games. Like, if you make, like, I remember in 93, Phillies had a struggling shortstop, Juan Bell. He really was bad. He was not good. But they had a lead of, like, I don't know, 10 games, you know, in May or June, whatever the heck it was. So they had time to work with it and figure it out. And eventually, like, all right, this isn't working. They were trying Duncan. They were trying Batiste. But then, like, all right, let's bring up Stocker. But they didn't bring up Stocker in May. They brought up Stocker in the summer. But they had that luxury because, you know, they had this massive lead in the NL East. They started off 45-17. That's not what this team's going to be. If they make the playoffs, they're barely going to make it. So every game matters. And I hope that they have a quick hook on Matt Moore out of the rotation. But to this point, we haven't heard that they're making that move. So, again, you can weigh in on that on the phone lines and certainly at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. 215-592-9494. And also, do you totally trust Doc Rivers with this situation, how he's handling it? I was really bummed with his comments after the game last night and the mentality with which, to me, it sounds like he's not only speaking but, you know, coaching. Let's go to Mark right now in Newark. Mark, you're on WIP.
Joe, I got to tell you, I agree with you 100% what I heard from Doc Rivers last night. And I hate to say it, it's loser talk. It's loser talk, and it's defeatist. And I just don't see the way these guys, they need some energy to play. And I know that's what he's trying to do. But when you got guys making this kind of money and they can't play back-to-back and they can't play hard, that's probably one of the reasons that the ratings are down in the NBA, because the average guy works a whole year and doesn't make what these guys make in 12 minutes, and they can't do it back-to-back. I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't either, man. I mean, I know that there are injuries, and there have always been injuries, but I think the players are too afraid now, and I think the coaches and the organizations are permitting this softer approach. And, you know, and here's the thing, Mark, I don't even view this today in a big picture NBA way. I mean, I know that is coupled into the conversation, and I hear John and a couple of callers already have said, well, this is the way the NBA is, but I push all that aside right now. I'm viewing this purely from a Sixers standpoint. There's an opportunity here. I really don't care what any of the other teams do right now. Right now, I care about the Sixers getting the one seed. And I think they are playing with fire with this approach, and I think it's bad.
Well, yeah, you should care what other teams are doing, because the Sixers players are in touch with guys on other teams. They understand what the dynamic is that exists in the NBA right now. And yeah, while I, you know, personally, if we're talking about me coaching my kids or something along those lines, I don't treat them the way Doc Rivers is treating these players. But he knows this is the best way to motivate them. And I would expect if he tried to get old school with these Sixers players, there would be all-out rebellion. They're saying, hey, Doc, look around the league. Get a clue. This isn't how it works anymore. Like, while in theory, what you're saying, yeah, sure, it makes sense.
Yeah, take the competitive advantage.
It doesn't work.
Take the competitive advantage, Mark.
It doesn't work. You can't do that. You're risking losing this team permanently by trying to be Mr. Tough Guy Coach.
Mark, who's a wordsmith?
My favorite author would be Mark Twain.
Mark Twain's another good answer. No question.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No question. To Mike in Wilmington. Mike, you're on WIP.
Joe, John, how you guys doing today? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Mike.
Feeling real good about tonight's game with the Phillies. We're facing Marquez, who's not really the best pitcher. I think if we get three or four out of Vince, maybe give up a minimum of three or four runs.
Well, that's true. He's really not. I was laughing, but he probably is not really stretched out to give you six or seven. So, yeah, that's true, actually.
I'm hoping on the bullpen to take over maybe from the fifth on. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game, but I think our offense will – take advantage late in the innings, and I think we'll pull out a win like 6-5, 7-5, something like that.
Look at you going with a baseball score prediction. You don't hear that every day, Mike. That's a rare one.
And they're underdogs. I think you take the money line on Phils, too. I think they win.
There you go. I got a prediction, Mike. Here's my prediction. A lot of doubles in this series. Big outfield there in Colorado. Reese Hoskins. I'm going three doubles in two doubles in this series from Reese.
I'm going Bryce, one double, one home run, three RBIs.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the phone call, man. John, there were some people on social media giving me the business yesterday. I guess it was during our show, maybe afterwards. I saw it afterwards about saying, you know, me and I'm not allowed to compliment Bryce or something. I don't know. What's the problem here? The guy's playing great. I recognize he's playing great. I say he's playing great.
Oh, you burned that bridge.
What bridge exactly did I burn?
The Bryce bridge.
So I'm not allowed to say he's playing great?
Nope.
Is John right there? I'm actually not allowed to say it.
You just can't comment on him. You just gotta ignore him completely. Should be good for our show.
You're not allowed to enjoy his great play because you've talked down to him about him. You expected something that was unrealistic. You went hard at Bryce Harper for not living up to this contract and for being a failure and a disappointment. And now we have a bandwagon. We've been riding it comfortably all along. There's no room for you.
Well, so this is unbelievable. I mean, all I did was point out the guy's got to be better and, frankly, a decent amount better. And now he's been a decent amount better. So good. Okay.
Fair weather.
And I never called him a failure.
Fair weather. The camera. Bryce Love. I expect you to turn on him immediately. So, yeah, there are very few seats left on this bandwagon. Why would we turn one over to someone who's immediately going to jump off at the first opportunity?
Yes,
all right,
exactly.
All right, how about
the moment Bryce has like an 0-for-10 stretch? Oh, he stinks. 330
He's
million.
Terrible.
Right, 330 million. Did you know that he makes 330 million?
Yeah. How about this, tough guys? I'm not asking for a seat on the bandwagon.
Okay, good.
I don't want it.
Good.
You don't get one. Good. This is perfect then. Is he in your opinion, is he now worth the money? Is he now a top 10 player in baseball?
Not a top 10 player, but he's what he's been the whole time, which is around a top 20 player in baseball.
I mean, right now, he technically is.
No, right now. But I mean, I don't base who's a top 10 player in baseball on a week. I mean, guys, let's remember, I get it, but his batting average in the last five games jumped from, it was somewhere in the mid twos. I forget the number, like 239 or something. Up to like 350 something, like literally in five games. So let's not get, you know, too carried away here. Let's go to Cordell. If you want to weigh in on Bryce and the whole deal, 215-592-9494. To Cordell in West Philly. What's up, Cordell?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How you guys doing this morning?
Doing great, Cordell.
Listen, I just want to make a couple statements. All right. As far as reference to the Doc Rivers thing, you guys gamble on games, don't you? You bet on games?
Sometimes, sure.
All right. So if you was looking from a better standpoint and you looked at that game and you knew that Milwaukee had 3 days off prior to the Sixers coming into town,
yep.
Who would you bet on?
You bet on the Bucks.
That's the same exact thing what Doc Rivers says. That's all. Okay?
Sure.
Also, the whole thing about Ben Simmons, we don't know what Ben Simmons' situation is.
I agree.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's a possibility that there could be some underlying issues going on with Ben Simmons, health-wise, all right, that he has never disclosed publicly to anybody, and that's why we don't know exactly what's going on.
Cordell, the fact that he's now missed three games means that, you know, there's probably something, you know, really going on there.
Right. And so, you know, as far as people, you know, trying to blame Ben Simmons and put it all on him and, as far as you guys thinking that Doc Rivers can't be trusted, especially you, Joe, all right, I think you guys got it all wrong. Doc Rivers looked at the schedule just like we all do, especially if we want to bet on the games, and we're going to see that the Sixers are going to be coming from a game, right? Playing Phoenix, right, the day before, all right, and then got to go into Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's has been sitting at home in their own bed, relaxing, taking it easy.
Yeah, the circumstances are stacked against the Sixers, and that's just what Doc was saying. He said it in his own way. As far as what you were saying about Ben, I agree with you. It's a dicey, slippery slope saying, hey, Ben should have been out there. But I think as fans, it's easier for us to get down on a guy and assume that he is fearful, like that fear is part of this equation when we watch him be afraid to shoot for his entire career. You know, like for me, it's not a big jump. It's much easier for me to assume the worst for a guy who has shown us the worst in that one regard. For like, it just seems incomprehensible the way he's right. played. And part of that is fear of doing something that everyone else does readily for their entire career from the time they were 5 years old.
All right, Cordell, give me what you got here for a wordsmith. Give me a great answer.
Just real quick, all right? Also, the NBA and the NFL and stuff like that, these players before the Players Association, before the unions got a little bit of power, all right, they've been coming out of the leagues and stuff, being unable to walk and not having no medical stuff and like that. And so now that the players are starting to look out for it themselves, all right, now we as fans got a problem with it.
Well, right? So you're crossing leagues, though. There's a huge difference between the NBA and the NFL. Saying, tremendous difference.
But the Players Association, the unions. Now,
I know. All right, Cordell, give me a word. True. Give me a wordsmith.
What do you know, Joe?
Give me a wordsmith.
All right. I was going to say Jill Scott.
Jill Scott. You got it. All right, coming up, we'll talk to Charles Davis. We'll get sort of a national perspective from Charles Davis on the Eagles, where they are in, you know, the rebuild process, I guess, what he knows about Nick Sirianni, and the draft picks that the Eagles could be considering with the 12th pick in the draft. Charles Davis next. Phone calls as well on 94WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.